It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wakebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
home is seeing a lot of discriminatory advertising online. When you think about housing transactions these days and the way people access information about housing, it's all done over the internet. Craigslist is a very common way to access information about housing. So Home has seen many discriminatory advertisements on Craigslist. I have a couple of samples here that I'll read from. One is an advertisement from the Craigslist for the Norfolk Hampton Roads region, and this is something that we found about 3 years ago. The advertisement reads, 4-bedroom, 2-bath house for rent for $3,500 a month. First and last month rent is required, plus security deposit also. There is a credit check and income verification. That all sounds perfectly fine, but then it follows up with this last sentence. This is in a white neighborhood.
Rachel Dean, Fair Housing Director at Housing Opportunities Made Equal, reveals the shocking rise of discriminatory housing advertising, which has resulted from the rise of the internet and social media. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll find out about how the monitor of the National Mortgage Settlement has launched a complaint reporting tool. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 169, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Last month, Joseph A. Smith, Jr., monitor of the National Mortgage Settlement, announced the launch of an online tool for consumer advocates to report their clients' mortgage servicing complaints. Smith recently announced the development of the website to attendees of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition annual conference. In April, Smith officially assumed his position as monitor of the National Mortgage Settlement among 49 states, the District of Columbia, the federal government, and 5 major banks. In this role, Smith works to ensure that the banks comply with the requirements outlined in the settlement agreement. The agreement does not charge Smith with assisting individual consumers with their complaints, but the information gathered from this online tool will inform Smith how the servicers are treating their customers. As monitor, Smith will look for trends in servicing complaints as the banks move forward with implementing the agreement. As he announced the website launch, Smith said, "Lawyers, caseworkers, and other consumer advocates are the eyes and ears on the ground who will know first and know intimately what kind of difference these payments, adjustments, and programs are making. That's why we've created this dedicated tool, to see what they're seeing. This allows me, as monitor, to hear complaints and learn about advocates' impressions of how the settlement is working. Although I'll extensively review reports and monitoring from the banks and my own team of auditors, it still is critical for me to receive the information from the heart of each community this settlement serves." Smith will use the information gathered from these recorded complaints to investigate any notable trends. To report a complaint, professionals will visit the site, fill out information about themselves and their clients, and select from choices on which servicing issues their clients have experienced. The options on the form cover the more than 200 servicing standards outlined in the agreement. Information about Joseph Smith, the Office of Mortgage Settlement Oversight, and the online form is available at www.mortgageoversight.com. Information about the National Mortgage Settlement is at www.nationalmortgagesettlement.com. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Department of Social Services versus Hogg. On behalf of Robin Hogg, a Michigan resident, the Division of Child Support Enforcement filed a child support petition against Lewis Hogg, a Virginia resident. Although the child support guidelines called for $376 per month, the Gloucester County Circuit Court awarded only $173 per month, based upon the mother's alleged denial of visitation. But the Court of Appeals reversed, noting that none of the 16 factors to be used in setting child support had anything to do with visitation. The appeals court concluded that child support provides for the economic best interest of a dependent child. It is not a weapon with which to punish a parent. Accordingly, a court may not deviate from child support guidelines because a custodial parent has denied a non-custodial parent visitation. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault. And Department of Social Services versus Hogg is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at Housing Opportunities Made Equal, otherwise known as HOME, and we are speaking with attorney Rachel Dean, who is the director of the Fair Housing Department. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
We are going to talk today about housing discrimination advertising. And before talking about the advertising piece of it, would you tell our listeners, what does the fair housing law cover? And I guess later on, what does it not cover? But let's start first with what it covers.
The fair housing law in Virginia covers several housing transactions, rental, sales, financing. It also covers some zoning, some provision of services and utilities in our local communities. The Fair Housing Act makes it unlawful to discriminate in those transactions based on seven protected classes. That's the federal law. Virginia has the same seven classes and also adds an additional one. So the seven classes are race, color, gender, national origin, religion, familial status, and disability. And that eighth class that Virginia also adds is elderliness, which is defined as being ages 55 and up.
Now, a lot of those categories are, of course, self-explanatory, but a few of them might need a little bit of elaboration. You mentioned both race and color. I gather there's a distinction there.
There is a distinction. Race is the social construct that we have, Caucasian, African American. Color actually refers to the physical color of your skin, whether you have light skin, dark skin. And we'll talk about some ads that implicate that distinction later on.
And I guess national origin and religion are fairly straightforward. Do either of those categories need any elaboration?
National origin can be tricky. It includes where you're from, as well as where you might be perceived to be from. So if you have a name which sounds as if you may be from a different country or a different culture, and a landlord or sales agent perceives you to be from that different area, that's also covered by the act.
And then you, of course, mentioned gender and elderliness. Gender probably doesn't require too much elaboration, but maybe it does. And then certainly elderliness has some particular tricky points to it.
I will start with elderliness. It is defined as being age 55 or up, and we can talk about that in a little while. It is also implicated in some advertising issues because there are some communities designed specifically for people ages 55 and up. Just to clarify gender, recently we've had word from HUD under the Obama administration that gender provisions can include people who are lesbian, gay, transgender, or bisexual. So that is a new rule that came down about 2 months ago. It applies to HUD-funded or HUD-insured housing, and we're hoping that in coming years it will apply to private housing as well.
And by HUD funding or HUD insured, are we talking not only of conventional public housing, but also federally subsidized housing like Section 8 construction, people who have housing choice vouchers, things of that nature?
Yes, we're talking about all of those, as well as mortgages that are backed by the FHA.
And I gather that roughly half of all mortgages in the country are in some manner backed by FHA?
That's right. And that's why activists were very excited about this new HUD rule that came down in March.
And the next category you talked about was familial status. Now, I know that has a particular definition. Could you elaborate on that?
Familial status is defined as having children under the age of 18 in your household or in your family. It coincides with that LGBT provision. HUD's rule regarding the LGBT community includes basically any definition of family as falling under those familial status provisions. So two moms, two dads, single parents, it's all included. Familial status also includes people who are trying to gain custody of children, people who are pregnant, people who are trying to adopt a child. Those are all included under the familial status protections.
And then the last category that you talked about in terms of prohibited discrimination has to do with disability. Again, I imagine there's some detail there that needs to be gone into.
Yes, the disability protections include people who have both mental or physical disabilities. It also includes people who are perceived to have a disability. And the protections cover many different transactions. So it is unlawful to deny someone housing because he or she has a disability. It is also unlawful to deny reasonable accommodations or modifications for a tenant who may need them to function with a disability in the housing.
But now, isn't there also a requirement that the person who has the disability, whether it's physical or mental or both, nonetheless be, I guess, qualified or able to live in the housing that is at issue?
That's a sticky issue. And most court decisions, most court cases have held that that type of independent living standard is actually unlawful under the Fair Housing Act under those disability provisions. A landlord can't require someone to pass a test that he or she can live in a unit by him or herself independently. Doing so would be a violation of the fair housing laws.
Okay, so now that we know what the law is about what is prohibited discrimination, what are the rules about advertising in general? And we can go into some specific examples of the things that HOME is seeing that are unlawful.
There is a particular section of both the Virginia Fair Housing Law and the Federal Fair Housing Act pertaining to advertising. I'm reading from the federal law here. It is unlawful to make, print, or publish, or cause to be made, printed, or published any notice, statement, or advertisement with respect to the sale or rental of a dwelling that indicates any preference based on those protected classes we discussed earlier. What's interesting about that law is that it applies to all transactions, even the transactions that are otherwise exempted from the Fair Housing Act. There are a couple of exemptions for small housing providers and the like. Even those housing providers cannot make discriminatory statements with regard to the housing they're offering for rental or sale.
So you're saying that this covers any advertisement in the state of Virginia for any type of housing?
That's the view of Housing Opportunities Made Equal. There are some sticky issues regarding advertisements for roommates. There was a case in the Ninth Circuit, came down about 3 months ago, which stated that advertising for roommates isn't actually a housing transaction. It's actually more of a personal or transaction, and there are some privacy issues there that take it out from under the purview of the Fair Housing Act. But most transactions that involve a landlord, a sales agent, a property management company who is holding out something in a commercial way would be covered by the advertising provisions of the Fair Housing Act.
So the law seems pretty clear, and the law has been around for a good while now. One would think that especially property professionals would know what the law is. And I gather you're seeing discriminatory advertising. What is Home actually seeing?
Home is seeing a lot of discriminatory advertising online. When you think about housing transactions these days and the way people access information about housing, it's all done over the internet. Craigslist is a very common way to access information about housing. So Home has seen many discriminatory advertisements on Craigslist. I have a couple of samples here that I'll read from.
Sure, go ahead.
One is an advertisement from the Craigslist for the Norfolk Hampton Roads region, and this is something that we found about 3 years ago. The advertisement reads, 4-bedroom, 2-bath house for rent for $3,500 a month. First and last month rent is required, plus security deposit also. There is a credit check and income verification. That all sounds perfectly fine, but then it follows up with this last sentence. This is in a white neighborhood.
And this, my mouth just dropped open. This was an advertisement you found on Craigslist when?
This was in 2009.
My goodness. Do you have other examples that are similar in nature?
I do. I have another ad that we pulled from the same Norfolk Hampton Roads Craigslist site. This one is from 2010. It talks about a room in an apartment, someone who needs a roommate. That person says that he or she, we're not sure which, but this person prefers a younger white male for a roommate. This person goes on to say, sorry, I don't get along too well living with a female or black people. Sorry, no racist or anything.
So when you see an ad like this on Craigslist, I guess my first question is, what's your remedy? Who do you go after?
That's a great question. It's hard to go after these individuals on Craigslist because there's often no contact information or maybe just a phone number and no name. Sometimes what we will do is employ what we call fair housing testing, which is contacting the person by email or phone using an alias to try to gather more information about that transaction. Testing has been upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States as a legitimate way to gain evidence about housing transactions.
And I gather that that was a landmark case that Home brought decades ago.
That was, actually. That was the Havens versus Coleman case involving some testers in the Richmond area, and it had to do with race discrimination and steering in the sales market. So testing is one way that we can investigate this type of case. Unfortunately, we can't go after Craigslist because under the Communications Decency Act and according to several federal court decisions, Craigslist and other websites and internet website operators are not liable for violating the advertising provisions under the Fair Housing Act.
So is this a huge end around for housing providers who want to place discriminatory advertising? In other words, if they can place it on a website, and it could, I guess could be Craigslist or it could be any other website, basically you can't go after the website and they've got the protection of the website, so you've got to employ a tester to get at them?
I don't know about the intent of all of these housing providers. What is interesting is that if a housing provider placed such an ad in the newspaper, it would be unlawful, discriminatory, no questions asked. A court would rule against them. It's, you know, been held time and time again that you can't put that type of ad in a newspaper. What's different about the online world is that we have this Communications Decency Act. It was passed in 1996 as a way to encourage websites to screen for, you know, pornographic content, obscene content. What it says is that you cannot be held liable as a publisher of content that's posted on your website by third parties. It's meant to encourage screening for obscene material so that if you miss something, you're not liable for that. Unfortunately, court decisions have said that websites such as Craigslist can't be held liable for discriminatory advertisements placed by landlords and other parties.
And do you see any possibility of Congress amending the law at some point in the future to disallow this type of an end around, or is this something that going forward you think we're going to have to be living with?
I do see it happening in the next few years. The National Fair Housing Alliance, based in Washington, D.C., did a great study about 3 years ago in which they found 7,500 distinct discriminatory advertisements online over about a three-month period. They have been meeting with legislators trying to convince Congress that the Fair Housing Act is different from many other laws. It protects housing choice. It protects housing opportunity. And that publishers such as Craigslist should not be held to be exempt from the advertising provisions simply because they operate online.
And other than on the online world, does Housing Opportunities Made Equal find that there are really are very few discriminatory advertisements in print, in signs or billboards or in other media that otherwise clearly would be covered?
It is much less common today to see discriminatory advertisements in prints or on signs than it was in the 60s and 70s, but we do still see this type of advertising taking place. About a year and a half ago, we received a call from someone in the West End of Henrico who saw a sign at an intersection which said, "For rent, whites only," and referenced an address down the street.
And so when people do see discriminatory housing advertising, whether it's on the website or whether it is in print or on a sign or wherever, what should they do? To whom should they go?
If you see discriminatory advertisements or hear discriminatory statements made in the context of a housing transaction, I encourage you to call Housing Opportunities Made Equal. We can assign an investigator to the case. We can try to determine if any laws were in fact broken and then potentially provide representation for you if you were injured by that discriminatory advertisement.
And would you give our listening audience the number for Housing Opportunities Made Equal?
Yes, our number is 804-354-0641.
Thank you very much. We have been talking with Attorney Rachel Dean. She is the director of the Fair Housing Department at Housing Opportunities Made Equal, talking about discrimination in advertising for housing. Thank you so much for being on the show, Rachel.
Thanks for having me. I had a great time.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 59.1, which deals with trade and commerce. Code of Virginia Section 59.1-478 states that unless otherwise agreed by the parties, whenever any person requires another person to furnish fingerprints in connection with any business, commercial, or financial transaction, within 21 days of the transaction, the fingerprints must be returned to the person providing such fingerprints or destroyed by the person obtaining the fingerprints. What is strange about the law is that if you provide the fingerprints, you would know if they have been returned to you. But how would you know if they had been destroyed? For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral for, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. One mission of the Office of the Virginia Attorney General is to enforce state and federal laws that protect consumers. Join us next week when Dave Irvin, Chief and Senior Assistant Attorney General in the Consumer Litigation Section, explains the role of his office in safeguarding the public from consumer law violations. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wakeman.